Brennan et al. Versus Lexington. And we hear first from Mr. Guglielmo.
May it please the court, I'm Kerry Guglielmo, and myself and Dale Cronin, we represent Dickie Brennan and Company and its three restaurants. Our claim is under the civil authority coverage, which is a portion of the business interruption coverage of this policy. Lexington cannot rewrite the policy language after the fact. The law says that courts cannot or should not rewrite policy language. They had no authority to do that. Rhetorically, was there a declaration of civil action, mandatory evacuation? Absolutely. Was the plaintiffs prevented from having access to their property, their described property? Absolutely. Was there property damage that occurred in connection with this event? Absolutely. Was this a covered claim, a cause of the occurrence under the policy? Absolutely. What's interesting about this civil action policy language is that there is no geographical limitation about where the property damage has to occur, except that it cannot be the policyholder's own described policy, which is that's not even an issue in this case. Could Lexington have put in a geographical limitation like some of the other cases have done, like the LaGraze versus Phoenix case, the Astor versus U.S. Fire, Jones Walker case here in New Orleans? Certainly, it could have easily done that. There is no temporal time element with regard to when the property damage must occur.
Mr. Guglielmo, I'm looking at a copy of the order that was issued, and it doesn't mention anything about property damage in that order.
Your Honor, we're not making a claim for property damage to the described premises.
I understand that, but right. There's no indication that from the order, as I see it, that it was issued because of property damage that had, or due to property damage that had occurred. There's nothing in the order that suggests that.
I'm sorry, Judge. What order are you speaking of?
The evacuation order.
Okay. First evacuation order.
Okay. No, this evacuation order, and it's, of course, in evidence and before the court, this evacuation order was issued because there was a significant storm coming.
In fact, it specifically says because of anticipated.
Yes.
High tide and high winds.
And that's what Lexington argues, that it tries to read into this civil authority coverage that the order had to be issued because of property damage that had already occurred. Had property damage already occurred in this case? Yes. It occurred in the Caribbean. It occurred in the Gulf of Mexico. And it was issued because there was anticipation that there was going to be property damage around the city of New Orleans, which is exactly what occurred. Now, if Lexington, let me digress for a moment, and this is off the record. If Lexington had asked Kerry Guglielmo to write this policy language because it did not want to cover anything but property damage that occurred in the local vicinity, and that was the first element of the civil authority coverage, and then you went to the action of civil authority, and then you combined the no access, then I would have put the property damage as I would have made it the trigger of this civil authority coverage.
Why isn't it reasonable to read the policy provision, the due to language, as requiring a nexus between the issuance of the order and property damage?
Judge, It does contain the words to do in the civil authority language there. But it was due to property damage. The mayor of the city knew that this storm was coming. There had already been property damage. And there was property damage after the civil action. Is there anything?
Why isn't the order itself speak for itself as to the reason it was issued? And it says because anticipated.
Yes.
It doesn't say due to what's happening in the Caribbean and whatever. It says due to anticipated.
Judge, it could have very easily said that. You know, I'm not the mayor, obviously. The mayor could have very easily put that in there. But what I would submit to the court is that the language of the order is not controlling as to whether this civil authority applies or not. It's the language in the civil authority, and I grant that. It's the policy language. Our position is that it is not ambiguous. We've got coverage. Because we've got coverage under the civil authority, that ends it. The trial court didn't have to go any further because we met that language of that civil authority. Now, and that ends it as far as the civil authority coverage is concerned, and I submit that ought to be the position of this court. Now, if the trial court felt that language was ambiguous, that's not the problem of my clients. That's the problem of Lexington Insurance Company. Louisiana, as you all know, has an insurance code, RS 22:41, and it says that policyholders, this is a Louisiana policy issued in this state, issued right here to the insurers here, that policyholders are entitled to a readable policy. So even if this court would conclude that Kiri Guglielmo and Dale Cronin are wrong, that this language of the civil authority is not, that we don't come within that language, at most, at the very least, this language is ambiguous. Together with the 22:41, and as the court is well aware, there are reams of Louisiana jurisprudence. Policies are to affect coverage, not to deny coverage. Lexington wrote this policy. If there are ambiguities in the policy, Lexington loses in that case.
Let me ask you a question on your theory. I understand the arguments that have been advanced, but according to your theory, a recovery, would the damages have to result from the evacuation order itself? In other words, your inability to be there to mitigate damages?
I think it does, Judge. I think the answer is yes, because it has to prohibit access. So this is
It wouldn't be because it was destroyed by the hurricane. It would be because you weren't able to mitigate the damages or prevent damages from coming.
All these employees had to leave. All the management had to leave. And that's the reason why we have this loss. The policyholder, from the policyholder standpoint, the policyholder doesn't make any difference whether the property damage occurred or didn't occur. The loss is from the issuance of the mandatory evacuation, the action of civil action, which prohibited access to the property for approximately 4 days, Your Honor.
I want to know how you would construe the clause that governs this in the policy to bring this coverage to Brennan's for the civil authority prohibiting access when we read the due to clause. It says, we will pay the actual loss of business income you sustain the necessary expense caused by action of civil authority that prohibits access to the described premises. If it stopped there, there's no case. But it says, due to direct physical loss of or damage to property other than described premises caused by or resulting from covered loss or cause. I'm sympathetic with somebody who buys a policy for business interruption and then has it denied, but this is the language of the policy, and tell me how we get around that provision.
I don't think it's a question of getting around, Judge, the due-to provision. We're not questioning that there's a required element on the civil authority of property damage. What we're saying, there was property damage in the New Orleans area. Everybody knows, and that's...
I'm sorry? There's property damage where?
There was property damage in and around the New Orleans area.
After the...
That's after the mandatory evacuation was issued. There was also property damage before that. It was documented in the newspaper.
So the only way you get it is if we say, because before the evacuation was issued, this storm had caused property damage in the Caribbean.
No, sir, I'm sorry, and I'm erroneous if I suggested.
Okay, well, that's why I'm asking.
Judge.
I want to be informed.
Judge, it's Lexington's obligation to put words in that civil authority coverage that a sensible, ordinary policyholder can read and understand. The language that the court, with all due respect, refers to due to property damage, that doesn't tell me when the property damage had to occur. It doesn't tell anybody when the property damage had to occur. It doesn't tell anybody where that property damage had to occur. It's kind of like this, Judge, and I'll bring up this this South Texas medical case, which spent a lot of time distinguishing between the words due to and the words arising out of. And I tried to follow that. I've read that case several times, and I don't get it. And let me give a hypothet, which I hope is appropriate. Suppose John Doe goes and buys a medical expenses policy, a policy that's going to cover medical expenses for John Doe. And in that policy, there's a piece of coverage. This is a preposterous to some degree, but there's coverage that says, we're going to pay medical expenses for all arising out of or due to viruses, a virus that causes some hospitalization or medical or whatever. John Doe gets the flu from a virus. 2 or 3 days later, he thinks he's gotten over the flu. It goes into pneumonia. Is a policyholder, a reasonable, intelligent policyholder, going to say that the flu was due to the virus, but that the pneumonia was not due to the virus? So I don't see that distinction between, I disagree with the court over in Texas. I don't see that the word due to means some kind of close connection. Well, what does that mean, close connection? To what? When the storm hit St. Bernard Parish here?
Well, doesn't due to, isn't that a synonym for because of?
I think it is. I think it is, Judge.
Right.
And that's why I don't understand the distinction.
Well, but prohibits access because of direct physical loss or damage to property other than described.
Now, the word...
By resulting from the covered loss.
Maybe the word direct means, where the wind hits a building and knocks it over. There's nothing in between. You know, the wind doesn't hit a crane, and the crane hits the building, and whatever. Maybe that's what the word direct means, but I can't read that word direct to mean anything
so
further.
Direct loss would mean anticipated loss.
Right.
So what happens when, let's say the hurricane doesn't hit, and you leave and come back 4 days later, evacuation order expires, there hasn't been any property damage, but there's been anticipated property damage, and you've been gone for 4 days. Do you get your lost income?
Under this wordage of this civil authority coverage, the answer is yes, Judge. It does. Because all the elements are there. There's four elements. One is civil authority. Two, access to your premises, to describe premises, is not present. And three, property damage. See, I could have written, anybody with sense could have written this policy and said, civil authority coverage. If there is property damage within the local area, describe local area by 1 mile, 5 miles, or whatever. And then as a result of that, there's an action of civil authority, which includes preventing access to the property, then that's clear. My clients read this policy, they never file this lawsuit.
Okay, you have a red light. Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Siegel.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court counsel. I think the questions that the court have asked have really are right on point to the issue here. What is lacking from the plaintiff appellant's claim for civil authority coverage is the third element of civil authority. And the third element is not simply that there be property damage. The third element is that the action, as the Keene-Miller case, as Judge Tyson held in the Keene-Miller case, the action of civil authority must be caused by direct physical loss of or damage to property other than at the described premises.
Well, then what happened with the amended evacuation order? Didn't that describe and say that there was property damage?
It's the initial order of, it's the order of civil authority.
I understand that. And I understand that according to your theory, and if we agree with you, that that wouldn't trigger it. But how about the amended order that specifically references that it's being done because of property damage?
But I don't think the amended order says that because of some specific property damage that it caused somewhere, that that's the reason why we are issuing an order of civil authority.
That you can't unring the bell. You've had days of evacuation, no tourists, no customers, no access, nobody's allowed in. In the amended order, all it says is we're going to let you in a day earlier.
That's right. That's exactly right. So but the initial order of civil authority, as that, and I'm talking about the evidence that's in the record. There is, in some of the cases that were decided, even the South Texas case and in the Georgia case, there was evidence introduced by the governing body who issued the order of civil authority as to why they ordered the issue of civil authority. Here there is none. What is simply the anticipation of damage. So I would submit that the record that we have here shows that there is no order of civil authority that is due to direct physical loss or damage to property other than at the described premises. Now, in addition to the fact that we don't think this falls within the civil authority grant, the claim also, as presented, falls squarely within the Lexington deductible that's under the policy.
Falls squarely into what? I'm sorry,
the deductible? The Lexington policy had a deductible for wind and hail losses of 5% of the total insured value, subject to a minimum deductible of $250,000. Their claim, as they presented it, was for $230,000. And in this regard, as this argument the counsel has raised, I think that there is he's confusing the difference between coverages under a policy and a covered peril. And clearly, the policy provides coverage for property damage and personal business property. It provides coverage for business interruption at extra expense. It provides coverage for accounts receivable and the like. Those are the different coverages. It is a policy that provides those coverages when there is a covered cause of loss, when there is a covered peril.
It seems to me it's a pretty good argument that the cause of loss here was the evacuation order.
No, the evacuation order would be an order of civil authority, which, if triggered, would be the coverage. And it's part of the business interruption coverage. And we know that because we look at the business interruption coverage form. One of the provisions in there is is civil authority as an extra coverage. So that is the coverage that's being provided. The peril here, or the cause of loss, is the windstorm, is Hurricane Gustav.
Well, that's a jump. It's hard to make.
Well, let me tell you how I get there. And we can look at the standard deductible provision that's in the policy. I believe it is in the record at page 479, the record 479. And it says the policy deductible, and it says for each claim, it talks about the standard $10,000 deductible. Then it says, notwithstanding the foregoing, the deductible amount applying to certain perils insured against by this policy is as follows, and it references to endorsement number one. When you look at endorsement number, and the operative language there is, it says the deductible amount applying to certain perils may be different, is what it's saying. And then it takes you to endorsement number one, and when you look at endorsement number one, it lists the different perils, and when it gets to the peril of wind is where it says that there is a peril of 5% of TIV subject to a minimum deductible of $250,000. So what the policy is telling us is that the standard deductible is $10,000, but for certain perils, it may be different. We look at endorsement one, we look at the perils, we have the peril of wind, and that's the minimum $250,000 deductible. So we think that whether based upon the civil authority, the grant of coverage in the first place, whether this triggers the civil authority coverage, or whether the coverage is within the $250,000 deductible, that summary judgment was appropriate in the case. And I really might, unless there are any other questions, I might end by saying what the plaintiff appellants are seeking to do here is to create a coverage that would be called evacuation coverage. Anytime there is an evacuation order and I lose business because of the evacuation order, then I get coverage for that. I think there are, not in the record, but I think there are some policies or provisions that provide that type of coverage, but that's not what this policy provides. This policy provides civil authority coverage
It's business interruption coverage.
It's a form of business interruption coverage, that's right. Because remember, business interruption coverage in and of itself is triggered by damage to
if there had been wind and hail damage to the building, there'd clearly be the $250,000. There was none.
That's exactly right. If there had been wind and hail damage to the building itself, then under the business interruption coverage, we would figure out how much business interruption loss they had, and if it exceeded $250,000, they would collect
that.
That's not the case here. Instead, what we have here is
an evacuation order.
That's right, and there is no evacuation coverage. There's civil authority coverage, which is dependent upon the order of civil authority being due to property damage to some other property.
Neither order says it's because wind and hail is coming.
But that's true, but the civil authority, it does say flood. We could look at it says anticipated flooding if we wanted to go there.
And that's
$10,000. There is a separate flood deductible, I think that's even higher, Your Honor, for the peril of flood. It is, for named storm flood, it would be the same. It would be 5% of total insured value subject to a minimum of $250,000. So, but remember, the other reason why, in terms of the deductible, why we look to the peril is because the grant of civil authority coverage in the first place, we haven't talked about the fourth element yet, but the fourth element yet is that the damage to this other property must be caused by a covered cause of loss, must be caused by a covered peril. So it is the peril that triggers the damage to the other property, which triggers the order of civil authority, which triggers the preventing the access. So it all starts with the peril, and it starts with, in terms of civil authority coverage, an order of civil authority that is due to damage to some other property, whether it's down the street, down the in the next county, in the next parish, in the next state, or wherever. I think as a practical matter, the typical situation where you would have civil authority coverage would be if a nearby building burned down and they had to close off the block for a week in order to keep things safe. I think that's the typical situation that civil authority coverage is
now,
designed to address.
This policy is not one that is a standard Louisiana policy through the insurance commission, is it?
Well, Lexington is a surplus lines insurance company.
But, I mean, is this a state-approved policy?
Well, that gets into what is a surplus lines insurer.
Yeah.
And a surplus lines insurer under the Louisiana statutes are not admitted carriers that have to file their forms and have their forms approved. They do serve a valuable service, as the Louisiana statutes say, because they provide coverage to people who can't get coverage in the standard market. But I think you can see from some of the cases.
Well, my point is this is Lexington's policy that's offered, take it or leave it, to the insured. It's not something that has gone through the insurance commission and been approved.
Well, I would disagree slightly because it is an ISO, Insurance Services Organization-based policy form, and none of this is developed in the lower court below. But it is based on the Insurance Services Organization, which does submit its forms to the Louisiana Insurance Commissioner and does get them approved. And if we look at the other cases, the Keene-Miller case, I don't remember who the insurer was in there, but this is really standard policy language that you see in all of the cases that we've discussed, standard civil authority policy language. So I think that this form, I can't tell you for a fact.
The due-to language is universal?
It's pretty universal. I think that I can't tell you this for a fact, Judge, but I am pretty sure that this form has been approved by the Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. Okay. Unless there are any other questions.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Cronin.
Good morning, Your Honors. Stephen Dale Cronin on behalf of the appellants. Before getting to the deductible issue, I just want to really kind of raise what this kind of comes down to in terms of the civil authority. Again, there's no question that there was an evacuation order. That's accepted. There's no question that there was, in fact, property damage in a place other than the insured premises. This kind of comes down to the whole due-to thing that you've asked. At least that's how it's been crafted. And this kind of, in some ways, jives with that South Texas case that we still have problems with, as expressed by Mr. Guglielmo. Basically, the position that's been taken by Lexington is that because Ray Nagin and or one of his staffers that prepared the evacuation order didn't specifically say in that order that because property damage has occurred in X, Y, and Z, I'm issuing this evacuation order, that sole omission, for lack of a better term, is the determinative factor as to whether or not there's business interruption coverage. And in fact, if in fact what they say is true and that the due-to language is universal, what that essentially means is there's no business interruption coverage for a single company business in New Orleans that has business interruption coverage, even though the mayor ordered the workers, the managers, and all potential customers out of the city for four days, because of Hurricane Gustav.
Not all business interruption coverage is written on this form.
That is true, Your Honor. But again, the representation has been made that the due-to language is fairly universal. And again, Your Honor, it gets back to that regardless of whether it's a surplus lines policy and regardless of whether or not this has or hasn't been approved by the Department of Insurance, it's still subject to Louisiana's rules of contractual interpretation, still, and including those applicable to insurance policies. And again, Lexington, chose not to put a geographical or temporal limitation in their policy. And in fact, there are other examples of other cases where such a limitation was in there. And in fact, one of them even includes an old Lexington policy. The Outzar v. U.S. Fire Insurance Company, it's an Arizona case, 223 Arizona 463. That was a 100-mile geographical limitation for the off-site property damage and the civil authority.
Did this policy have a regular business interruption provision coverage and then a separate business interruption because of civil order?
The civil authority is a subsection of the general business interruption coverage.
So you already have business interruption. So when you say there couldn't be business interruption if you read the due to the way they want to read it, that flies in the face that there was all sorts of other different ways to get business interruption.
That's certainly true, Your Honor. I'm speaking specifically about the facts of this case and the loss that is at issue in this case.
Well, why can't this be viewed as a very specific type of business interruption that your client is trying to take advantage of? And that's fine. But it's got to be due to a particular type of civil authority order.
And again, Your Honor, the fact is that this court's held in the Martco Limited case that, and we believe this is an ambiguous provision. It says ambiguity will also be resolved by ascertaining how a reasonable insurance policy purchaser would construe the clause at the time the insurance contract was entered. Mayor Nagin didn't just wake up the morning he issued this order and said, oh, I'm just going to send everybody out of my city for the next 4 days. There was a reason. His objective basis for making that determination was Hurricane Gustav. Well, it wasn't just a spinning top in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico with no point of reference. It had caused substantial damage, property damage. So in that respect,
there's nothing in the civil authority coverage that requires any of the specific content.
Okay. So anyway, but again, Your Honor, and Mr. Gillum was whispering to me the point I raised at the beginning. If you accept Lexington's argument, you are essentially saying that if the mayor or the civil authority does not specifically craft his order in a certain way, that there's no civil authority coverage. That's essentially what they're saying here. And that can't possibly be correct. You can't have insurance coverage contingent on a person that has on somebody that may just have an error in their word processor. Speaking quickly about the deductible issue, Your Honor, we've introduced into the record the testimony of the underwriter of this case, who said in her own testimony that when she was first presented with this particular deductible, she thought it was $10,000. There are two reasonable interpretations of that deductible. Therefore, it's ambiguous and it should be construed in our favor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. We have your case.